Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Mystery Science Theater. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from Are We There Yet? With another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, February 28th, 2021. And my guests today are returning champ Kenese Mobley and the original Mads from MST3K, Trace Bilyeu and Frank Conniff. Hello, everybody.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, let's meet everybody individually. I'm sure people can probably already tell my three guest voices apart because only one of them has been a robot crow.
Guilty.
And Dr. Clayton Forrester, it's Trace Bilyeu, everybody.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Doug, for having us on your show.
Oh, so happy to do it. What exactly are you up to? Like, what does a mad scientist do during a pandemic?
Not look for a cure. and I'm doing everything I can to thwart any progress.
Okay, so just hanging out and watching movies would probably accomplish that.
That's all I'm doing. Actually, that's all you can do, really. Watch movies, TV.
But you and my next guest, TV's Frank Conniff. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Doug. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. The two of you were, taking the show out on the road doing, movie mocking, movie riffing out there on the road. So you're both, I assume, hoping to get back to that at some point?
Yeah, we would love to get back out on the road. We love performing in front of a live audience, and it's worth it to go through all the travel and all that stuff. So when it's safer, we'll get back on it. But in the meantime, we're doing these shows the second Tuesday of every month that are a lot of fun. We're doing them online, and people are enjoying them. So we'll just keep doing that until it's safe to leave our homes.
Yeah, the online internet entertainment is definitely where it's at right now.
It sure is, yeah.
And I think that's I think people will enjoy. The one thing about having to do it virtually instead of in person is, one, you don't have to do the traveling part, which is nice for you. But then nice for them is anybody can be anywhere in the world and watch you and hear you guys do this show, you know, they don't have to wait for you to come to their town by doing it virtually. So,
absolutely. Yeah. You know. Yeah, and it's only $10, and a portion of that always goes to a charity.
It's
so, win-win. $10, that's a package of cigarettes.
Yeah, everybody wins. Yeah, you're going to quit smoking, have some laughs, probably not cough as much because you quit smoking, so you could afford to buy the show instead of cigarettes.
We're just trying to help, Doug.
Mm-hmm. That's nice to hear that you're not like your character who would not want to help. Hot off of her stand-up set just on, I believe it was Monday night, the night after she was on her first appearance here on Doug Loves Movies, it's Kenise Mobley.
Hello!
Did I say the Tonight Show or did I leave that part out?
I think you said it, and that was where I made my TV debut. It was a lot of fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's very
That
cool.
was your debut.
Yes. We had to record it outside, and it was on a 25-degree day. So I was kind of like crying because that's what happens to me when it's cold. But thankfully, they were able to hide that with camera trickery.
That is great. Little icicles forming on your face while you're telling jokes about did you have to come up with like rooftop material, or was it more like just, I'm just going to do my jokes, but I'm on a roof?
I decided I'm just going to do my jokes on a roof. I'm not going to address the obvious thing, which I think several people have said to me, but I certainly thought, I was like, if this goes poorly, I can just end it right after. It's so convenient.
Yeah. It's a real easy out right there.
Yeah.
Normally at 30 Rock, you'd have to take the elevator all the way down to the ground floor. Go somewhere else.
Yeah.
A whole lot of, but there you just be able to. What do you know? What I mean, you know what building you did it on, but can you say what building you recorded the show on?
Sure. It's New York Comedy Club's rooftop venue. So they've had it open for several months.
Yeah.
They've been doing outside shows almost every day as long as the weather permits. And it's like Flatiron in New York. So if you know that area, it's right over there.
Yeah, I do. And but I also wonder, like, since people are so dying for entertainment and to go outside, how cold, like, what do you think the coldest it's been? Like, how cold was it when you did your thing?
So it was 25 degrees when I did my thing. I did three sets over the course of an afternoon. The last set that I did that day, I want to say it was 18 degrees, and they still had people out there. They have heat lamps. I handed out heating pads to the crowd. People bought blankets and full bottles of alcohol, like wine or whiskey or whatever, and were just drinking straight from the bottle. But people want that entertainment.
Oh, yeah. No, people are crazy for entertainment, so especially in person. So 18-degree weather is not going to stop them. That's amazing. I love how they used to have, like, their, you know, occasionally it'd be a Super Bowl where, like, it's that kind of temperature and there's a whole stadium full of people watching guys run around. It's like, why aren't they always just playing the Super Bowl? It's always in February.
Yeah.
Why not put it in Florida permanently? Anyway. Kenise, I have a bit of news for you.
Ooh. What is it?
Remember last week when I was absolutely unable to articulate some thoughts about the Pierce Brosnan Thomas Crown affair, which mm-hmm. you recommended?
Yeah.
Here's what I was trying to grasp at. I had just learned that he doesn't wear a tuxedo in that scene where everybody's wearing tuxedos in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because, do you know why?
No.
Because Pierce Brosnan was under contract as James Bond. He wasn't allowed to wear tuxedos anywhere else.
What? He
couldn't be in another movie dressed in a tuxedo. But their solution was that his tie is just untied. Like, that immediately makes it not a tuxedo if the tie's untied.
I guess.
But he does look like a complete slob in that one scene in the movie because he's running around with an untied tie and it's early evening at a formal party.
I just assumed he had been dancing so hard that he was like needed to undo just one thing, not a button on his shirt, just his bow tie. That's it.
Yeah, no, he's nice and comfortable now. Also, from the corrections department, 21 Jump Street came out in 2014, not 2012. So I'm glad we were able to clear that up. And now we can proceed as we normally do. Kanice, could you please recommend a film for everybody to watch?
Okay, I kind of have two. One is based on last week. Claire said that I should watch Awakenings to see if it makes me cry. So I rewatched Awakenings.
Oh, wait, let's recap for Frank and Trace and anyone who didn't listen last week. Kanice has only cried at 4 movies in her entire life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty impressive. And and she knows which ones they are. And then Claire Kramer recommended Awakenings, which I agree is a very sad movie. But let's see now what Kanice's reaction to it was.
I think it's a very well-made movie. I didn't cry a single tear. My eyes didn't even increase moisture levels. I will say, seeing a young Robert De Niro, because I've only known like Meet the Parents Robert De Niro.
Sure.
He was a hot guy. I didn't expect that. That was nice.
He was a hot in that movie. What was he like? Sleepy.
I just like a sleepy man, Doug. Just kind of in and out. You know, it's perfect. Yes, he's borderline catatonic for most of the film, but when he's not, he turns up the charm to 11.
But I guess at Movie House, you know, that guy has written several books that were made into movies about, you know, various medical things. And I guess there was some, you know, some real stuff in there.
Yeah, Oliver Sacks.
Mm-hmm. Frank gets a point.
I wasn't going. I was just trying to be helpful.
The game starts when I say hello. Claire Kramer also, because she was on the show several weeks in a row, because we asked the winner of the games we play, we asked if they want to come back the next week. And so she was on a bunch of weeks in a row. And she got used to recommending movies on Sundays to me, because she texted me yesterday that she really likes I Care a Lot on Netflix.
Yeah, I just watched that.
I just saw that too. That was very good.
Yeah. I like her as a mean lady. She's so good as a mean lady.
She is good at being very mean. And seemingly, she doesn't seem to have an ounce of guilt about it. But what were you going to say beyond Awakenings, Kanice?
I was going to say I Care a Lot. It's the only other thing
Perfect segue. So you'd recommend I Care a Lot, because I found it to be very well done, but also, it kept me like kind of not irritated, but, you know, I was definitely feeling it. You know, I was definitely, especially in the early part of the film, I was very unhappy about the idea of taking advantage of the elderly and the fact that this is based on something that's probably a pretty common practice.
Yeah, that was frustrating. Have you seen, I can't explain why, but I'm getting strong layer cake vibes. It might be the final shot of the movie, and I'm not trying to spoil it for anyone, but there are some similarities where it's like, hey, I'm a person who does a bad thing. I'm trying really hard to make it work. Oh, the real baddie comes through. Now I've got to do all this and that. I don't know. I got Layer Cake vibes from it, which is a movie that I also like. So I think it primed me to like this one a little bit more.
It's definitely got, like, that's the thing I like best about Layer Cake, was that there was a sense of, a real sense of style to the whole thing. You know, like it might have been, I think it would have been considerably less entertaining if it wasn't so stylish, because the story is kind of like the same story they keep, it's being over and over again.
And I Care a Lot was a little on the contrived part, but that, you know, that's to be expected, I think, from a movie like that.
I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but there's a character played by a very famous actor that when that character strolls into the movie, it's kind of like, oh, this, there's something about what's happening now that makes this movie feel like more of a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can see the mechanics of a plot, and there's one aspect of it, and I hope this isn't a spoiler, but I'm just saying that I think people would have learned, anyone who watched the movie North by Northwest would know that killing a person by faking a drunk driving accident is like a really inefficient way to kill someone, and it doesn't work. So don't go down that route.
Thank you for the hot tip.
Absolutely. No, it's funny to me that I was laughing about how Netflix, when you are, you know, just browsing and you go for more information about I Care a Lot, a picture that comes up sometimes is, you know, a character who's clearly, you know, just gotten out of a river and, you know, and is all battered up. And I was just like, why would I want that introduced into my head? The first hour or so of the movie, it's not that kind of movie, really.
Right.
You know, so why, you know, I don't want to know kind of where it's going to go. But anyway, so apologies to anybody who hasn't watched it yet. But that's the beautiful thing about Netflix and movies, streaming movies opening in your home. If you're going to be one of those people that doesn't want a movie spoiled, then just watch it, you know, watch it over breakfast or whatever, do whatever you got to do, but it's in your home immediately. You know, it's not like a movie in theaters where somebody has that, you know, window of a couple of weeks where they deserve to have it not spoiled.
Yes.
That's the only way I've watched that film so far is in the find out more about it, you know, because it starts playing, you know, the preview starts playing. So I've only seen that segment like 50 times as I'm scrolling through looking for something else to watch. And yeah, I kind of feel like I've gotten like the Reader's Digest version of that film.
Which sometimes is enough, but you know, especially if it is completely mechanical, but the movie has a pretty good style to it, and also a lot of very good actors who you know, commit very much to the craziness of it.
It's also an example of a very entertaining movie that has no rooting interest in it whatsoever. There's nobody in the movie to root. Everybody is horrible in the movie, and everyone has terrible motivations, you know.
Yeah.
And yet you're still like engaged in it. And even though like the main character she's horrible, but I hate to admit it, I kind of root for her during the movie.
I was, you know, a lot of times that's what'll happen. Like obviously the like Heisenberg syndrome where you root for a monster to win in Breaking Bad.
yeah, exact. Great point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's horrible, but you really root for him. But you've seen, you know, you've seen the struggle. You've seen all of his excuses. They end up just being excuses, but at least you see those. With her, she's just like steps into this movie like, this is what I want to do and I'm going to do it, which we're seeing a lot of in American politicians right now.
Oh, totally.
You know, just all drive and no ethics or concerns about anything other than, you know, success. I mean, she's so driven. I don't know what point I was trying to make there, but it's definitely a stylish movie and has enough plot stuff in it that isn't. Well, that's what I was going to say. It's just that there's a lot of movies where if it's not stylish and tells that kind of story, it's just as satisfying to me to just quickly find out what happened.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And instead of, or like Trace was saying, just sort of pick up on everything that's going on just by actually watching those things they throw at you.
You get to see a lot more movies that way. Just by really quick.
Right. Well, also, I'll just turn a movie on, just have it on because I'm curious about it, but I'm not going to just sit, you know, and watch it with the same attentiveness you give a movie in a theater, you know, unless it's something that really, you know, I suddenly realize, holy shit, this Sonic the Hedgehog ain't that bad. Or whatever it is. Whatever it is, because I haven't actually seen that movie.
I haven't either.
I wish they would add the how much time you have left scroll bar in a movie theater. So you go, okay, I got a half hour left.
It's so great
to suffer through.
Just hit pause.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're watching with somebody else, sometimes you'll look at each other like, yeah, that was just the right call to find out that we still have 40 minutes of this shit. Or whatever it is. Yeah, that's nice. I still try not to do it. I still try to treat it let's just see what happens if time speeds up or slows down during this experience. But it's tough sometimes because when I get bored, I get, you know, I mean, I guess a lot of people are that way. It's just boring is boring. And a lot of movies that people think are great, I find really, they're real snooze fest for me. Mm-hmm. So, Trace, have you seen anything, you know, lately that that you would heartily recommend? You know, like the kind of thing where someone comes back and says, I didn't like it. You just be like, well, tough. It's a great movie.
Well, speaking of snooze fest, I've been watching the films of Roy Anderson, who's a Swedish surrealist filmmaker. People are leaving the podcast as we start. His film You the Living is absolutely spectacular. He takes about 4 years to make a movie, and it's all shot in a soundstage. And you'll watch his films and you go, no, that's an exterior shot. That I can see a city, and it, you know, it's like, no, it's all shot interiors. And I think You the Living has one of the most beautiful and if you want to cry a little bit, it's got a great dream sequence. This woman is in love with this rock star, and she dreams of their wedding night, which is on a train, but it's also their apartment. It's just absolutely stunning. And I know no one has seen his films. The other one I'd recommend is Songs from the Second Floor, which is also Roy Anderson.
Where are you seeing these? How do you have access to them?
I think one of them, Songs from the Second Floor, I think you can find on Amazon Prime or Amazon somewhere. You the Living, I had to get the DVD, and you still can from Netflix. They still have a DVD library.
Oh, they'll still mail that out to you?
Yeah, but they're hard to find. But they are, he has like these static shots. The camera does not move, and it's all about the characters and their lives in their, you know, in their interiors that he's created. And it's just amazing. And they're all, you know, they're all Swedish. They're all European looking. So they don't look like American actors or actresses. They look like real people. And it's some of the funniest stuff and some of the darkest stuff. It's like David Lynch. I don't know how he stumbled on this, these films, but,
how many movies has he made?
Oh, probably a dozen. You can go on YouTube and find all of the commercials he's made, like 400 commercials that he did before he got into movies.
Were they all in Swedish, the commercials?
They are, but they're absolutely hysterical. They're, you know, in that European way of funny where you'll, you know, suddenly you're smoking a cigarette and drinking, you know, cognac and going, oh, yes, that is very funny.
Well, like when you're, you know, seeing a movie in England or probably Europe in general, you know, they show commercials before the movie, but they're like the funniest, you know, they put on the funniest spots. They don't just make you sit through. I mean, they do stick in some boring ones, too, but you know, they're generally the funnier commercials, whereas like, you know, here, whenever there's commercials for a movie, it's just the kind of commercials you just never want to sit through under any.
Yeah, it's those car commercials with not real actors. I'll never buy that car.
Okay, so You the Living is the one title, but what's the other one called?
Songs from the Second Floor. And there's a third in this trilogy. The title is A Pigeon Sat on a Branch Reflecting on Existence.
Okay, now I know who you're talking about.
That was the sequel to Birdemic, wasn't it?
Yes.
No, it is. It is a really, really, you really have stumbled onto something, Trace, because after seeing that last one you just mentioned about the pigeon, I find his work extremely disturbing.
It is. It's disturbing and I find it hilarious. It, dark and funny and sad. Wow. All of the, you know, it's the color wheel of emotions.
Speaking of movies that my friends with sick sense of humors think are hilarious, did you laugh at the movie The Lobster?
I haven't seen that yet.
I saw it, and I did. Parts of it did make me laugh. A lot of it was just, wow, this is so compelling how weird this is. But I did find there's a lot of stuff like that that's more weird than funny, but I remember liking it when I saw it. But when, it's one of those movies that you know, you see it and you feel like you really like put in your time seeing it, and the great thing is now you don't have to watch it again. But I did like it.
I'm thinking of Ending Things. Have you seen that?
Yeah, yes. That's another one. Yes. That's exactly.
I find it way more rewarding to have seen it than to.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
So should I watch that movie or
no?
I think you should. You know, like for Frank said, that's so you can say you did.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like the building you didn't jump off of.
You know, and you can, it's kind of like a video game with the, you know, with the cheat codes, with, I'm thinking of Ending Things. If I would have been told, you know, there's just a piece of information that is pretty crucial to what's going on, and you're kind of supposed to pick up on it on your own. So if you're the kind of person that wants to pick up on it on your own, then just go in blind. But if you want to understand the movie better the first and only time you see it,
yeah,
I would recommend talking to a friend about it first.
Yeah, in every case, like I prefer to know as little about a movie as possible before I see it. But in the case of this movie, it would be helpful to maybe know what the hell is going on when it happens, you know. But
yeah, because it really leaves you hanging for very long periods of time if you have this kind of, and I don't know why I'd be expected to figure it out on my own. I mean, I figured out that things aren't always what they appear to be, but there's a very specific thing that once you know, you go, okay, I guess it all pretty much makes sense to me now.
It's one of those things where you know, it's a character, but then I didn't figure out when I watched it, but when I read about it afterwards, I found out that, well, he wasn't real or something like that, or was just in her mind. You know, it's one of those kind of things.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and it's also a trick too, because you think the movie's from one particular character's point of view, and it's not. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting, you don't see that very often. Frank, do you have something?
Not
as stressful as these other recommendations we have so far.
Well, you know what? Since we've gotten really deep into modernism today, I had a couple that I wanted to talk about, but I thought I'd mention a film that I happened to see on the Western cable channel that just shows Western movies. And I'd seen it a long time ago. It's an Elvis movie, and it's called Flaming Star. And I was taken aback by it because it's, for me, and I hope I'm not stepping on any toes here, it's a very rare experience to watch a good Elvis movie.
Agreed.
And this was like made in 1960, and it was directed by Don Siegel, you know, who directed Dirty Harry and a lot of really good thriller movies, The Killers, a lot of great stuff, and written by Nunnally Johnson was the screenwriter. He wrote The Grapes of Wrath and a lot of other great movies. And it's kind of Elvis. It's kind of the last Elvis movie that isn't an Elvis movie. In other words, after that, in the early 60s, throughout the 60s, all of the movies were just Elvis vehicles, you know, for him to be in a film with songs and a lot of girls. Yeah. And they were just these kind of concoctions that were cheaply made, and they always made money. So so in my opinion, his talent, and I think he was very talented as an actor, was wasted in all these movies. But in this movie, he plays a real character. He plays a half Native American, half white guy who's, and so the movie has a lot of stuff about racism in it and attitudes of Americans in the West. And it's short. It's like under 90 minutes, and it's just a really well done film. And it just made me sad that Elvis is very good in it, you know, and it just made me sad that he didn't make more movies that were as good as this one.
Yeah, what do you think? Where does it fall? It's better than, because another one I thought of where I think he sings in it, but it's got more of a serious story than the others, was the one where Mary Tyler Moore plays a nun.
Oh, that one, though.
Change of Habit? Is that what that's called?
Change of Habit is in a class by itself, I have to say. That one, I do include that more in the later type of, and it was made, I think it was one of the last films he made. It was done in 1969. And that film, it takes place in the ghettos of New York, but it's so obviously the universal back lot that it's ridiculous. And also that movie has, and I hope this isn't a spoiler, but the very last scene where Elvis is in a church singing, and Mary Tyler Moore is, her conflict is, should she leave the church to be with the one she loves, Elvis? And she looks at Elvis, and then a shot of Elvis, a shot of the cross, a shot of Elvis, a shot of the cross. So it's the ultimate dilemma, Elvis or Jesus. And they leave it completely unresolved.
They do?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so that movie I would recommend people watching, because it's just a total trip. But Flaming Star, though, is much more in the category of a really good movie that Elvis happens to be in and is actually very good in.
And how do you think we can find it to watch it?
It's probably, you know, Elvis stuff is all over the place. I mean, I saw it on cable, but I would imagine you can probably find it on Amazon Prime or any number of places where all Elvis products are sold.
Well, Trace was saying that Songs from the Second Floor is on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So people can just look for Flaming Star there while they're there. Mm-hmm. And I'll try to post about it. I always like to get three recommendations and then sort of challenge the listeners to you know, actually watch all of the films, or at least the ones they haven't seen.
And another thing about Flaming Star too is it's very action packed. There's a lot of people shooting on horses, shooting at each other, and it's actually a very violent movie. I'm just saying that as a recommendation to people.
Yeah, you're really selling me on it. I'm really into it. But I've seen I Care a Lot, and I'm going to. I got to really think about this Songs from the Second Floor. Do you feel like it's similar to the Branch, Pigeon on a Branch, or is it kind of got a different thing going on?
I'm still searching for a pigeon set on a branch. I haven't seen that one yet. You'd think that the Criterion Channel would have it because it's foreign. But I haven't seen it on there.
Is it, are his films, are they all a series of vignettes, or is there a story that goes through the entire film?
Mostly it's vignettes like that. There's kind of a through thread, and it's about existence and life and all of those things. But it's very Swedish, very kind of that Nordic guilt, you know, Ibsen-y kind of Peer Gynt kind of thing.
Yeah, I saw it with, you know, kind of a matinee crowd at a film festival, and I don't think they knew what to make of it. And I certainly didn't laugh much, but I was very disturbed. Like, there's a couple images from that movie that I can just, you know, I could just easily recall when thinking of it that are just, you know, because there's some animal cruelty stuff in there.
Oh, really? That's not in his other films.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Okay, so yeah. There we go. We figured it out without having to say too much. I'll check out the songs from the second floor, because even though the whole movie's really creepy and weird, I found the animal stuff was just a line that I didn't, you know, feel like going over. But, you know, it's...
There's some very cartoony animal stuff.
That's okay. Well, that's okay.
But only one sequence like that. What I'm impressed with by him is how he makes his movies and how beautiful they are. They're like paintings. They're like Edward mm-hmm. Hopper, and he's heavily influenced by, you know, all of those classic painters. And they are like, you have to readjust your appreciation of time, mm-hmm. Because, you know, like the film we talked about, I'm Thinking of Ending Things, there's some very slow sequences in that, and it's kind of refreshing to see a film that just takes time, and you just have to take time. It's like season 3 of Twin Peaks. There's just like, you gotta just put the clock away, because, you know, you'll just keep looking at it. But
yeah, it's time.
I find that refreshing, and I don't know if that's because I'm really old now.
The David Lynch, you know, no fear of, you know, losing the audience through, you know, slow moving sections of his work. it's quite amazing. Because also when he makes kind of a, he's only done it a couple times, but when he tells kind of a, for lack of a better expression, a straightforward story, like in the movie The Straight Story,
right,
or in Elephant Man, he's like a perfectly competent and you know, well-paced, you know what I mean? He can do that.
Yes.
He can make movies that don't have those things in it that just make you go, what is happening and why is this taking so long or whatever, you know, but the TV series Twin Peaks pushed me too far, but maybe, you know, later on, maybe a few years from now, I'll appreciate it more. But right now, I don't have the time to watch a guy just sort through shovels.
See, and I just like shovels. It could have been an entire series of shovels.
Let's play some games. Sure. I've got some little movie games that I've prepared. Kinesis is our ongoing champion, and we'll play our first game after this quick break. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. And the first game that I'd like to play today is something I introduced a few weeks back, and it was pretty fun. So I'm going to do it again. It's called Oh Yeah, Sunshine. And here's how it works. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to name a movie, and then I'm going to ask you individually. I'll tell you whose turn it is. I'll ask you if that movie has the song Oh Yeah by Yellow or Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves or both.
Wow.
Well, the answer is, oh yeah, sunshine or both.
This is, I can already tell, this is a really hard game.
Yeah.
But you each get a guess, so the third person each time gets a gimme if the other two people miss it.
Great.
We'll start with Trace. Which of yes. those movies or both, I mean, which of those songs is in Spider-Man Homecoming?
I'm going to say Just Walking on Sunshine.
That is incorrect. We move to Frank.
Oh, so...
you only have to choose between both or...
I'm going to say both.
That is also incorrect.
So I will go with the last and only remaining option.
Which is?
That it has, oh yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was forcing you to say it, but that was fun. Oh yeah is correct. Cadiz is on the board with 1 point. First to 3 points wins. I think I've got enough of these to do that. Or Kanice can just run away with it by just being third the whole time. Trace, here's the next one. The film is called Alvin and the Chipmunks. And you know it's got a subtitle.
I'm going to go with...
The greatest subtitles of all time.
Yeah.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeak Wool.
I'm going to go with both. Both of those are in.
You know, Electric Boogaloo was the champion for so long amongst, you know, people that don't know a lot of movies that want to make a joke about subtitles.
Right.
And now we finally have The Squeak Wool. And that answer is incorrect, I'm afraid. Frank, what do you think?
You know, my hearing aid does actually tune those two songs out when they come on.
Like, that's what I think is funny about this game is that, you know, if there's a Hall of Fame for songs that were used in too many movies, both of these qualify.
Yeah.
What do you think, Frank?
Well, the thing is I didn't see The Squeakquel because I didn't see the first one, so I assume I'd be totally lost if I saw The Squeakquel without having seen the first one. I'm just going to guess and say Oh Yeah is in it.
That is correct. Frank is on the board.
Wow, lucky guess.
I mean, that's what I want people to know that this show is about movies, so that's why it's called Doug Loves Movies. But Lucky Guess would also be a great great name for it.
Well, it's a lucky guess involving deductive reasoning.
See, those are the best lucky guesses.
Yes.
You know, you have that little extra edge. Kanice gets to go first on this next one. Which one of those songs or both do you think is in Soul Plane?
Soul Plane. Wow. One of Kevin Hart's earlier roles. It's got Snoop Dogg and a great cast. I'm saying all this to delay the fact that I have no idea, so I am going to say Walking on Sunshine.
Sorry, that is incorrect. Trace?
I'm hitting him out of the park here, so I'm going to say Oh Yeah is in that, and only Oh Yeah.
Oh Yeah and Oh Yeah only is correct.
Oh.
Now Trace is on the board. Now we got ourselves a real shooting match. We got a three-way tie, and I got four more of these, so somebody's gonna win. Frank, you gotta go first on this one.
Okay.
Not Another Teen Movie.
The
classic riff on teen movies.
Yes, which I haven't seen, but I know that I believe it's kind of a joke-driven Zucker Brothers type of comedy, but not the Zucker Brothers. But so because I know that it's based on my knowledge that it's every, you know, just any throwing every joke that they have probably at the wall, I'm going to guess that both are in it.
That is amazing deductive reasoning. You are totally stepping out of the lucky guess zone by bringing in some thought, but that is incorrect.
Damn it!
Kenise?
I'm going to guess just, oh yeah, I have seen this movie several times because I will watch anything with Chris Evans in it, but I do not remember, so I'm just going to say, oh yeah.
Oh, when Chris Evans comes out, do you go, oh yeah?
I say bow, exactly bow, like that bow, every time.
Bump. Bump, bump. That is correct.
Yes.
Kenise has 2 points. Trace, it's back to you.
Oh
man, this movie. Classic. Canine.
Canine.
Letter K, number 9.
Was this the Jim Belushi film?
It is the, and so gracious of you to call it a film.
It would be oh yeah or yeah. I'm gonna say they're both in the film because it's a dog.
Oh no!
Oh,
that's not correct.
Now, if you'd said are they in The Departed, I would have said yes. They're both in The Departed. Comes out of the elevator. Oh yeah.
It's in most Nicholson movies. It's like his theme. What do you think, Frank?
Well, not having seen K-9, and but still trying to figure it out, I'm going to guess that, and this is probably true of a lot of Jim Belushi movies, that there was a scene maybe early on where everything went wrong for him, and then he had to team up with a dog and he hated it, but then everything turned out okay. So I would say then Walking on Sunshine would have been a song they'd use in the whole sequence of events.
I'm sorry, that is not correct.
No. Well, I guess I don't know K-9 the way I thought I did.
Frank, you said in all of the Jim Belushi movies, is that actually, has he made more than one?
I don't know how many of his I've seen. One movie that he's in that's actually a really good movie is Salvador with James Woods.
Oliver Stone. He's been in a lot more movies than you'd think. He's not shy to take on like roles of all different sizes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But K-9 was definitely when he got on a hot streak there. He was also in a movie called Taking Care of Business, which in production was called Filofax because those handheld Filofax things were so popular at the time. Or I should say they were popular, and then once the movie was produced and post-production, then they went, oh, let's just call it Taking Care of Business.
Which weirdly enough, didn't have the song Taking Care of Business, but a song called Filofax in it.
And he was in Red Heat with Schwarzenegger.
Oh yeah, that one I've seen, but I barely remember. But I did see that movie years ago.
Yeah, he was the man for a little bit.
Yeah.
So who got that one right? Nobody yet, right?
Nobody.
So it goes to Kenise.
I will do the remaining option.
Which is?
The option that was, I'm really trying to remember. I got really lost in the sauce of the K-9 conversation. the remaining option, I can't just say that.
I mean, I would certainly let you get away with that. I mean, because if I tell you the other two, then you'll certainly know which one was left over.
You can certainly tell me the other two and say the remaining thing left.
I like that. I like the way you say it. So it's not Sunshine. It's not both.
It is. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And you won this stupid game. You did it.
Yes.
But there's another game to come, and don't worry, guys, because don't worry, Mads, because this first game is just kind of a warm-up. The next game's the one that really matters. And we'll do that right after this. We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back, and Kanice won that game. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, these two guys know everything about movies.
Not quite.
We're proving that wrong.
Except for my dumb games. It's that fun. Like Ken Jennings will come on this show, and he'll not know, you know, answers like that. And then, you know, it makes me feel like I'm as smart as Ken Jennings. But it's just that, no, I just would, the specific things I care about, a guy that knows everything doesn't bother to learn. You know what I mean? It's the it's the thing he skips. but this next game, I think we premiered it on the show with Kanice, and I'm so excited to play it again. I think it's a great game, and it's currently in search of a better name. Right now it's called Parental Guidance. And you know how Netflix or whatever streaming service you're on, or the internet, or the internet movie database, you can find it all over the place. Just random people's assessment of why a movie is rated the way it is and what you should do about it in regards to whether or not your children can watch it, even though now we're in an age where if your children aren't stupid, they can watch anything they want. All they have to do is click on yes, I'm 21 or whatever. But or I guess, or they could be really good hackers, because don't some parents put blocks on kids' computers these days?
Yeah, I think you can, I think it's a thing you can do.
So I think kids today can get around it. You know what I mean? Just go to school and find another kid that's super into computers and just be like, hey, can you hack, you know, hack me into the internet? But that's far beyond the point. The point is, I'm going to read some of the warnings that are out there for a particular movie that are pulled straight from parental guidance, you know, advice on all these sites. And I've got four facts. So whoever goes first, in this case, it's going to be Kanice. She gets to hear the first clue or piece of parental guidance. And then if she doesn't know what the movie is or guesses wrong, then pretty much similar to that last game, it'll move on to the next person. And I've written four because the person who goes first is a slight disadvantage because, you know, you only have the one clue. So if it comes all the way back around, you get to try after the fourth clue. And did we figure out, Kanice, who should go first, like in the second round? Is it just the person who wins the point, I guess?
That's right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, here we go. It's the only second time we've played it. Does that all make sense to you, Trace and Frank?
Sure.
Yes.
Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are walking on sunshine. All right. oh, by the way, the Michael J. Fox comedy Secret of My Success has both.
Oh, totally. And
that's the one. And Ferris Bueller is what really made Oh Yeah popular.
Yeah, I was going to ask, was that the first time that was used?
If it's not the first, it's the one that made every other person that doesn't have, you know, an imagination think, oh, that song would be good in this movie. Because it got used a lot. I mean, it's just, and in a TV ad too, I think, which is like really ruins it for film, if you ask me. Okay, Kanice, what movie has the guidance that goes like this. Comic violence throughout, it is never grisly or graphic.
That is very
penalty for taking an ass other than being wrong.
Toy Story.
That would be a perfect way to describe it because it is violent, but there's nothing grisly or graphic about it, especially if you're not a toy.
Yeah.
Go to Trace.
Read it again. Neither grisly nor graphic.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you the next piece of advice, and so then you have more information on which to guess.
Oh, good.
This movie has 9 uses of fuck, 25 uses of shit, many hells and dams.
How many fucks?
I don't give any. Nine.
Nine
fucks, but just that there's 25 shits and that somebody's job is to be a shit counter. I don't know. I don't know. That's a good gig. You can't really
busy weekend at CPAC for those people. Ghostbusters?
I don't think they
didn't say fuck.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, that was me. That was me in the theater.
All right.
Boy, that's a hard game.
All right, Frank gets another clue before he has to guess.
Great.
And that's the thing. As these go, they are, you know, it's set up to give it away more, I'm hoping. When the cops are driving through the mall, they drive through a portrait stand, and it is possible to see a nude woman for half a second. And then it goes on to say, it is very hard to notice. That's how concerned they are about the children, is a painting of a nude that shows up for half a second that you only see if you're looking for it.
I'm going to say Bad Boys.
Oh, no, but that is a really good guess. Back to Canise with one more piece of information. When Jake is released from prison, he gets his stuff back. With one soiled and one unused condom.
Okay. Jake. There was a Jake in this movie. It's cops driving through a mall. Crap. They don't drive through any malls in Die Hard. I'm trying so hard to think of what this could be.
Oh, that's okay. I tried to make it obvious, but also not, you know, come right out and give it away. But I also have a different perspective, of course.
All right.
Do you have a guess?
The only thing that's coming to mind, it's not it. Shazam takes place in a mall, but it's not it.
Okay, so now let's go to Trace again, maybe with all those, with that extra clue.
Yes.
Do you know what it is, Trace?
That's the Blues Brothers.
That is correct. It's the Blues Brothers.
When you said cops in a mall.
Yes. I was surprised that Frank and Canise were both able to come up with chase scenes in malls.
I have never seen Blues Brothers, and I recognize... Yes, people might be upset. I will watch it. That'll be on my to-do list.
Don't be mad at Canise, people. I'll tell you, though, Blues Brothers is great in so many ways because it's, you know, it's got great, you know, musicians and music, but it's also got, you know, just insane over-the-top stunts and chases and stuff. I mean, it's like so many different movies in one long-ass movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we'd only be mad if you watched the second Blues Brothers movie.
Right. Which I believe is it 2,000 minutes long? Is that why they called it?
Yes. Yes.
I swear, wasn't it even called Blues Brothers 2000 and didn't even come out in 2000?
I think so. I mean, it was called
it was back when they were just putting, you know, you just put the expression 2000 on things back then.
And it's confusing because I thought it took place in space.
Right? It does sound spacey. But not Kevin. So Trace gets the point on that one. And Kinnis has a movie to go watch. I mean, if you're a fan of Carrie Fisher at all or miss her, it's very entertaining watching her in that film because it's unlike anything else she does in any other movie. And, if you don't like Nazis, it's a great movie.
Yes.
I am famously anti-Nazi. So.
Oh, you're going to love one part of it. Might make you cry. All right, here we go. I'm wasting time. Trace got the point on that one, so we'll start with Frank. Or no, we said we were going to start with whoever got the point. So congratulations, Trace.
Oh, I was taking off my uniform, and I got to put it back on.
What movie has the warning that a man makes a comment about a blowjob?
All the President's Men.
With the late, great Hal Holbrook as Deep Throat. Excellent guess.
I have no
That's
clue.
Not the answer. Frank. The main character smokes in almost every scene, but says she wants to quit.
Is it Aaron Brockovich?
No. I don't know why I laugh at that. It's a,
because it's a stupid
serious
cast.
Movie. okay, Kinnis. There are 20 uses of the word fuck, including 2 uses of fuckwit.
Fuckwit?
Fuckwit. I don't know why they think we need to know that specifically, but I think it's a good clue.
Okay, blowjob, woman who smokes, it's a female main character. Okay, interesting. The only person I'm thinking, they didn't use fuckwit in Pulp Fiction and she's not the main character. Crapola. I'm trying to think of it. It's not... Can You Ever Forgive Me? It seems like she would smoke a lot and say fuckwit.
No, that's not it, but that's a great...
Yeah, good guess.
Great pull.
Good movie, too.
The fourth one, Trace. You got another shot at this.
Oh, boy.
A woman's butt in stockings is shown very close sliding down a pole.
Oh, my God! Oh!
Yeah, I can't think of the name of it, but...
Oh, I know this.
It's not Showgirls, is it?
It's not. No. Oh, this
Frank,
is killing me.
It's Frank's turn now, Frank.
Oh,
did that help you, Frank?
It should have. You would think it would have helped me, but going down a pole. Wait a minute. Bridget Jones' Diary.
That is correct.
That's the first DVD I ever bought. I've watched that movie truly hundreds of times.
It's a good movie.
I can't forgive
movie.
Myself.
I haven't seen it. Now it's ruined.
Yeah, I don't know why. I thought 2 uses of fuckwit might tip that it's a British thing.
Of course.
Because I don't know if they say fuckwit in a lot.
I was going to say Iron Lady.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Okay, we got to go into a third round, and we've actually run it long, but that's okay as long as everybody's all right with that. Frank, you get to go first. Mm-hmm. This movie has archival footage of rioting.
Archival footage of God.
Could be a lot of things.
Yeah, that. So I'm just going to pick the one movie that comes to mind at the moment that has that, and that Forrest Gump.
Great guess. That's not it.
Mm-hmm.
We go to Kinnis. A man drops his pants on TV. We only see his boxer shorts.
Man drops his pants on TV and we only see his boxer shorts. It's not Love Actually.
No.
Okay. That was my guess. I'm sorry.
I love it. It's a great guess. Trace, there's one use each of God and Sweet Mother Jesus.
Is it network?
No. And I'm not going to take it anymore. Finally, back to Frank. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling it at all, Frank?
I don't know.
Here we go. Here's the fourth clue. Miscellaneous people drink with James, who spreads cocaine on the table.
Oh, wow. I really, I'm at a loss, so I guess I'll just say American Psycho.
I mean, I love a wild guess, because if it was right, that would be amazing. Uh-huh. But back to Kinis. With all four of those clues, does that help you at all?
Not even a tiny bit. I was just going to name movies where people do cocaine. Man.
Okay, that'll work. Someone named James does cocaine.
Does cocaine. Mm-hmm. Wow. And it's, I was like, layer cake. It's not layer cake. And no one's on TV in that movie.
I know that's the problem. You start thinking of something and then you rule it out based on.
Yeah. So this person pulls their pants down and you only see their boxers. Someone does cocaine. These other two movies, Blues Brothers, Bridget Jones' Diary, I'm like trying to see if there's some sort of theme that I can like collect from the ether. They both came out in the late 90s, early 2000s, and begin with the letter B. Bright Young Things?
The only, I should say this at the top of this game, there's no theme other than movies I thought of that would be interesting to see what would be considered objectionable about them. And in this particular case, it's a movie called Dream Girls.
Oh,
Dream Girls.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy plays James Early, and he does some coke, and he drops his pants on TV, and he's a disgrace because of it. And then many years later, Bradley Cooper peed on television.
Yeah.
And he had to really take it up a few notches.
He sure did.
But, all right, so we have an interesting position here because Trace and Frank both have 1 point left, and I have one remaining round. So, Kinis, thank you so much for being here. But I'm going to settle the tie between these two guys right now.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I mean, you don't have to leave. I'm just, you know, I don't also don't want to feel like I'm being rude by not asking you the question. We'll start. Who got that last point? Frank did, right? Here we go. Frank?
Yes.
If the two of you together don't get this one, I'm going to declare Kinis the winner.
Agreed.
Yes, that sounds fair.
I think it's fair. I think you'll get it. But the first clue, Frank, is a man injures his leg and has a limp for the rest of the movie.
Oh, wow. There's a limp. I just have to say a title because I have no idea. So I'll just say Bluebeard. I don't know.
A man, yeah. You see that man with a limp over there? The one with the peg leg? Yeah. okay, the next clue. These will build up on you. I might take off. This one's for Trace gets to guess. The music is very unnerving.
Hmm.
So much so they feel like they have to warn people about it. So it's got unnerving music and a man injures his leg and has a limp for the rest of the movie.
It's not Midnight Cowboy.
No, it is not. Frank, in one scene, a man incessantly calls his son a bastard.
And he has a limp, or someone has a limp, and the music is disturbing.
Unnerving.
Cheaper by the dozen.
I would forfeit on.
back to Trace, and then I've got two more clues, but Trace, this one might do it. As the film goes on, one of the main characters begins to go crazy and more violent.
It's not My Left Foot.
No.
So I am correct. It's not.
Frank, this one is going to give it away. Congratulations.
I hope so.
You can name it. Someone threatens to drink someone else's milkshake.
Oh, that's There Will Be Blood, right?
That is correct, TV. Oh. Frank, you've done it. You are here today. Congratulations.
Thank God, I was so brilliant that I was able to figure out the most famous and iconic catchphrase of the last 20 years was from that movie.
Yeah, I wrote it down just in case everyone wasn't on board as much. There's people I know that are obsessed with There Will Be Blood, and I didn't know where any of you are on that particular movie. But
if by obsessed you mean I saw it once, okay.
Yeah,
see, I have seen that movie so many times. I was so excited when you said weird score limp, and I was like, I know what it is.
That's so funny. Yeah,
I got close, I think, with My Left Foot because same actor.
I would have been happy to.
I could have also said Lincoln.
Yeah, I almost said, same actor, good job, but that would have been an extra clue for Frank.
He got it anyway.
He had to get it the hard way with that. Thank you guys for being here so much. Frank, would you like to come back on the show again next week?
Next week, yes, I would love to. Thank you.
Date and time, I'll reach out. And, sure. But both of you, while you're here, please say again where people should go to see your movie riffing shows.
Well, they should. Tuesday, March 9th is our next show, and just go to eventbrite.com where you can get tickets. You can go to we have a YouTube page, we have a Facebook page, and watch our feeds on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And you can get all the next information. But the next one is March 9th at 8 p.m. We're riffing the classic movie Phantom from Space.
Wow.
And no one's ever heard of it.
Yeah, which is perfect, right? I mean, I guess it works either way. Whether people are familiar with a title or unfamiliar, it still has its, it's still just fun to watch any movie with jokes strewn throughout. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. This is a lot of fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad you had fun with this.
And nice to meet you, Kenise.
Being tortured.
Yes. Nice to meet you, too.
Nice to meet you.
And that's what I was going to say next is Kenise Mobley. Did you have anything you'd like to promote?
Sure. So I have a podcast called Love About Town, where me and my best friend discuss sex, dating, and relationships in an attempt to be better. And my Instagram live show called Make Yourself Cry, where people show me different things and try to make me cry with what makes them cry. It's Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Instagram live.
I love it. I hope everybody on the show today will come back soon. It was a great time. And, I did this last week too, I think, Kenise. I don't know if you remember, but I close each show with a final line from a movie. And I didn't think of one for today. Does anybody have a favorite final line from a movie?
Nobody's perfect.
I know. That's probably the number one go-to. I think I probably did that one on the very first day. Mm-hmm. It's funny how many of them are just like, all right, I'll see you later. it's just some casual. I think I saw one the other day where somebody's like, oh, I want some more pancakes. That's the last line of Sophie's Choice.
Wow. That's a tough choice, chocolate chip or regular pancakes.
Yeah. All right. So since nobody has one, I'll just... Oh, here's a great one. You know that classic comedy with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, Stir Crazy?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The last line of that movie is Gene Wilder saying, "Come on." So thanks once again to Frank Conniff, Trace Beaulieu, and Kenise Mobley. I hope to see you all again soon. And as always, come on.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his